Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were amazed, they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. There's a lot of texts and titles and things that have been preached from this passage of Scripture, but there was some portion of this that got on my heart today that I want to try to preach to you about. We'll take my text from verse number 4. The Bible said, And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they could not come nigh. I want to preach to us tonight just a little bit on the effect of an extra effort. The effect of an extra effort. It's been for years I've heard this text preached on about, and I've heard preachers take these four men that carried this man that was paralyzed, and they've applied names to them, who they were, what they were doing, and to be honest with you, I have no idea who they were. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I mean, I just don't have no idea, and I'm not good at trying to symbolize them as something that I'm not sure they were. But this one thing that we do know is, and it's told to us in the beginning in verse number 1, is that he was in the house. It was noised. It was told everywhere. It was heard. Word spread around that he was in the house. There was a lot of things that changed. There was a lot of things that could have changed. There were people that come and went. There were people that got touched and people that got healed. But there was one thing that was a constant. He was in the house. And that's the one thing that I think I have noticed even in this revival. Every night we've changed crowds just a little bit. There's been some that's been here some nights and not here other nights. And different ones have come and gone. And the complexion of the revival has taken on so many different faces. Until at times I'm not even sure exactly what it is we're trying to accomplish at times. Come on now. I mean, I look around, I think, the one thing that we do know is that the Lord is here. And I like knowing that He's here. And I like for other people to hear and for them to know that He's here. Because then it gives us the place where folks that are carrying burdens and are up against things in their life, that they can go and bring somebody to the place where they're sure that they can find Him.
The Bible tells us in other areas that they had to go and they tried to find him. They didn't know where he was. One time it said they came down to the seashore. And he wasn't there, and the disciples wasn't there. And they didn't know where he went to, so they waited for a ship to come in. And they got in a ship, and they went to the other shore to find him. But here in this passage of Scripture, they knew exactly where he was at. He's somewhere in this house at Capernaum. Just bear with me a few minutes, and I'll try to get to preaching to you here. But he was there in that meeting, and when folks begin to hear that Jesus was there, this was not a sanctuary or a tabernacle, anything, nothing like the size that this is. It was just somebody's house. And folks got to hearing that he was there, and everybody wanted to come. There was folks that came that was interested in getting something. And there was folks that was there that was interested in getting nothing at all. They just came to see what was going on. They were there just to see what they could find fault with and point fingers at and find some reason to start a rumor about how things up there are getting out of hand, and they're fanatics and they've lost their mind. Help me here just a little bit tonight. But when they got there, Jesus was preaching the Word to them. I mean, they got to listen to some good old-fashioned preaching. I tell you, for years, it's been told to me, because I really try to get into my preaching, that you don't have to do the way you're doing. You don't have to scream. Jesus never screamed at anybody. He probably never jumped up in a pew or stood on an altar or run around the building. They said he was that calm, cool, collective person that just sat down. But when he spoke, it had power. And I'm not no means trying to pretend to be Jesus. And I just have to preach the way that the Lord moves on me to preach. He preached to them. And these four men decided there was a man in the community that did not have the ability that everybody else had. He was a man that was paralyzed. More than likely he was paralyzed from his neck down. He could not walk. He was sick of the palsy. That's what it simply means. He could not function much on his own. He did not have the option of going to church. But what these men did is, when they heard that he was back in Capernaum and he was there preaching again, they went to this man's house and said, "What you need is to go to church." And I'm not sure how much this man, he couldn't put up much of a fight. He couldn't argue very much with them. He was in no position. But I can see them, Brother Keith, as they lay him on a cot and they carry him in this warm, hot weather that they normally had around this time of year in Capernaum. It was easily 110, 120 degrees Fahrenheit, and carrying a man that even though he was paralyzed and he was in the condition that he was in, he still had some weight about him, and they had to carry him at least, I don't know how far it was, but if they carried him a quarter or a half a mile in that kind of temperature, it would be enough to tell you that when you get there, you want to get a burden off of you. Some folks, it becomes such a heaviness that after a while you may think your problem is not very serious, and this man may not have weighed very much, but when you carry something long enough, there comes a time in your life when you just want to get to the place that you can stop carrying it. You want to rid yourself of those burdens. I'm not talking about disposing of them in a way that has a negative meaning to it, but we know that the Lord is in the house, and our intentions is we're going to bring this man that cannot walk, and by the time we leave this service, he's going to be up and on his feet and doing better than he's ever done before. for. And shouldn't that be our desire right here in this service to come to church? And some of you have come in here with burdens tonight of people that you've been carrying for some length of time. But can I tell you, if you'll have a little faith after a while and believe God, He can put legs on your prayers and let your burdens get up and walk away, and you can see a major turnaround. Come on now, I gotta try to help you here. But the Bible said they come unto Him. It's important to note that the first thing that they did was they came. There are some things that you're never going to get done unless you come. Are you hearing me? Come on, it's not going to do you any good to stay at home and just come on now and just lay around. Some things you need to come on and try to get them. It's no use saying that. I'm going to sit at the house. It's not going to do me any good to go. You'll never know till you get there. And these men believe that the first important step in order to get their miracle for this man that they cared about so much was that they had to come to the place where Jesus was. And that's the way it's going to be with every one of us in this building tonight. If we are going to get our needs met, we're going to have to get in the presence of the Lord. Come on, that's not going to do any good for us to sit back. You can say, but preacher, if God really loves me, He'll stop by my house. But I want to tell you, we've got to make up our mind that if He doesn't come to where you live, you're going to go to where you know He is. And that's got to be our determination. That's got to be our desire. For if we don't show up, come on now, if these men do not come carrying this man that's sick of the palsy, he will never walk. And I wonder the things that we've missed out on in life because we failed to give an extra effort and to come. I mean, these men, without a doubt in my mind, knew the place would be crowded, knew there'd be a lot of people there, but they did not let this cause them to change their mind. They did not get self-centered in their own lives, saying, well, it'd be better for me to be there than to be late with a burden. But I want to tell you, it may be late, but bring what you got to the Lord, and before it's over with, God will make a way to get you out of what you've gotten into. I got to try to tell you something here tonight. I've got a burden on my heart that there is an effect for those that make an extra effort. They came. But here's what I want to preach on for a little while. And then I'll touch on some of the rest of this, maybe. But when they could not come nigh unto Him. Notice that. For the press. That press just simply means the crowd. When they could not get in. I wonder tonight, among those that's sitting right here in this service, what do you usually do when you can't get in? Come on now. See, we've come to the place, and I understand, and I don't want you to misunderstand me in any way at all. There's just one way to heaven. There's just one way for us to get there. But we've got so settled in our ways sometimes we think there's only one way that things can be done. That God can only do it under certain types of circumstances. That it requires a certain formula. Come on now. But if that fails, then when we can't get in that way, we go back home and hope for another day. Come on now. Hey, are you hearing me now? Come on now. I'm not trying to be critical of anybody. In fact, this message ain't even designed to be critical. I'm going to try to get down to the effects of what an extra effort will bring. But before I ever get there, I want to talk to us just a little bit about what do we do when we can't get in. Come on now. That long before Brother Bailey ever stands up and gives the dismissal, there are folks sitting on the pews that have already dismissed it. They've already made up their mind. We may as well go home. We're just waiting for closing. Or maybe for the altar call. Or whatever portion in the service it is that you choose to go home. Sometimes when it doesn't come on now, just completely break loose in the first song or the second song or whenever it is that we do the marching around here. Come on, then some folks just automatically dismiss it. This is not the night. But I want to tell you, you cannot judge the tone of a service based upon the fact that you can't get in under conventional methods. Are you going to help me right here just a little while tonight? And I feel like it's been echoed more than once in this revival. This ain't a premeditated sermon, nor with premeditated ideas. It's not in from sermon books that I got sitting somewhere other than here. Come on now, but I do want to tell you, when they could not get in, they did not go home. They did not just say, it's no use. I'm sorry, friend. I hate to give you the bad news. There's no room here. You see, no room at the door. That did not mean no room. No room with the crowd. That does not mean no room. There are a lot of things that are not commonly accepted among the crowd. There are unusual antics that sometimes take place in among people just like this. But you see, the majority are not always ready to accept those. When they cannot get in, then they assume nobody else is going to get in. Come on now. And I can see as they approach the door, the building is full. The door is standing open. They're carrying a man. They've carried him a while. I can see man number one saying, sir, we've got a man here that's sick of the palsy. Could you move over a little and let us get in? And I can see them saying, no, you should have been here earlier. If you'd have been to church on time, if you'd have been to the revival on time, there'd have been room for you. But it's too late in the revival now. A service has already started, and I've already got my seat, and you cannot have it. I gotta try to tell you something here. When you can't get in, do you allow, amen, other people's stubborn ways to stand in the way of what it is that you need from God? Well, brother, he didn't ask me to sing. He asked them to sing. Come on now, but I want to tell you, it's you that needs the miracle. It's you that needs the help. And I'm wondering tonight, what do you do when you can't get in? Do you just mark it down as another day on the calendar? That was a wasted effort, and I'd have been better staying at home. I heard that voice tell me, it ain't going to do you no good, and now I believe it. But I want to tell you, these men came with a purpose and a determination. They decided, we're not going home when we can't get in. It may be a little unusual, but I want to tell you, true faith gets creative. It looks for another route. You see, the ultimate goal is, it's not to walk through the door. It's not to sit with the crowd. It's not to mingle with the people. And it's not just to hear another sermon. What we're here for is to get to Jesus. And I wonder tonight, what is our intention in this service? How many tonight feels like you need to get in, but for some reason you just ain't getting there tonight?
That's me. I mean, you feel more like yawning than you do worshiping. Amen. Any truth to that? Come on now. I mean, it's amazing. Some folks will stand in line to get in a meal at a restaurant, but they won't stand in line to get a blessing from the Lord. If they can't get it, if they're not made number one priority, scooted right to the front of the line and skipped by everybody else that's there, then they don't want it. But I'm going to tell you something. These folks didn't wait on the line. They found the best way in the world to cut line. Huh? Because they realized everybody in line didn't want what they said, what they act like they was there for. Come on, they made an extra effort. I got to try to help you here. Are y'all going to help me here now? Come on now, I don't want this to be boring. And just to the point that you say, man, oh man, he's done got off on a tangent. But I just really feel like preaching to some folks tonight. You're not getting in. Come on now, because you've run up a little against a little crowd problem, or a little press problem, or a little bit of pressure. And even though you know Jesus is in here, it doesn't warrant doing anything more than what you've done to this point. I mean, you can pat yourself on the back and say, at least I tried. God knows and sees every heart. Are you going to help me here? He knows it. I showed up at the back door and couldn't get in. But I want to tell you something. Jesus never mentioned seeing your faith until you get what you got and lower it down in front of Him. It is not faith when it's at the back door. Faith is not just simply given, come on now, a little mild effort that anybody could have done. Faith is going that extra effort that says, if I can't get in this way, I'll get in over this way. If I can't get over that way, I'll try another way. I might feel sure that whenever they could not get in the door, they tried the windows. When they couldn't get in the windows, somebody said, there's a ladder. Maybe we can climb up here and get in this way. I wonder tonight, is there anybody in this crowd of people that's sitting in this building tonight that's willing to make an extra effort and say, I came here with a purpose. I came here with a burden. It's Tuesday night. We've already been. I don't know how many nights Timothy could tell you. He's keeping her count of them. He knows. He's just not here. Come on, I know you can do the math pretty quick. Whatever the day of the week it is, a day of the month, and figure it out that way. But we need an extra effort. The fact is, four men took it upon themselves to see one man get right and get help from God. And they made up their mind. We didn't carry you this far to be disappointed. It was almost, Brother Keith Willis, as if they looked at that man and said, if you get back home today, it'll be on your own two legs. We brought you here, and we're not taking you home until we get in the presence of Jesus.
I got to hurry here. And when they could not come nigh unto Him. There's also in this the indication that people can be a hindrance to you.
Huh?
It's quiet. For some strange reason, you'd think this far into revival that folks would really be up on their feet shouting. But the fact is we look around too much. We notice who's here, who's not. Who's among us? Who isn't? We look at them. I can't get in tonight. They're here. And they bother me. I don't like the way they do things. I don't like their actions. You said we can draw our own conclusions. And said they're just here because they just want self-pity. And I have no compassion on people that will not help themselves. No. You can't get in. Come on now. God help me right here. I want to be sweet and kind. That's my normal nature. And I really want to be that way right here tonight. But I want to tell you something. You cannot allow people to rob you of your blessing. Because listen, everybody doesn't have what you have. They don't have the problem you have. They're not carrying the burdens you're carrying. So it's a little bit hard for them to have the sympathy and the empathy that they need. Come on now. Whenever you're the one that's carrying it. And everybody's intentions and going may not be the same. Some folks just come because they ain't got nothing else to do. And I've already come to realize that. I've been in church a few years and some things I understand. But they said they could not come nigh because of the press.
this. It was people. Come on, years ago, I pastored a man. I mean, he's a great guy, wonderful guy. I mean, I really like him, but we're still friends today. That service opened up, and he came in there, and when service got going, I seen him. We got into the first song, and he got up and made a quick exit toward the bathrooms. And I guess it's somewhat similar to the way it is around here, except on the men's side. He came in, and he made an exit, and he went out and back, and I kept waiting. He didn't come out second song, third song, prayer request time. I took prayer requests, and I finally, when it came time to pray, I went to the back room. I thought maybe, you know, he's back there dying or something. Maybe he's sick, or I don't know what's wrong. I go back there, and he ain't nowhere to be found. I don't have no idea where he's gone to. I just figure he's gotten sick, and he's gone home. Well, church dismissed that night. Brother Bailey and I called him up. I said, "Brother, where'd you go tonight?" He said, "Well, I'm just going to be straight with you." He said, "When that woman comes, I can't get in." So I just got up and went home. Come on now. And I said, "You need to pray through about that then. Come on, listen, it's you that needs a touch more than anybody." And I tell you, I know that there's been a lot of talk over the past several years of the charismatic movement and shouting and dancing and doing all the things that is associated with the Pentecostal church. But I am not this day or any other day, going to allow a hypocrite come on now to get to the point that it influences me to sit on my seat because I'm afraid of bad association. You hear me now? I've made up my mind. I'm going to get in. It doesn't matter if hypocrites are all over the floor, if they're shouting from one corner to the other. If God moves on me to shout, I'm going to shout anyway. Listen, there he is, a real genuine. And it's time that we got over our fear of people and quit worrying about what everybody else says about it. You see, it comes to the place right here. If they listen to people, they're going home. They do not get a miracle. Service is over, and we miss the rest of the story. But the fact is, they had the idea we can do more than just accept no from a few folks sitting on the back pew as an answer. We've got to talk to him. If the Lord says no, I'll accept it. But anything less than a word from the Lord, then I'm going to keep on going.
I'm still on this part of the scripture. And when they could not come nigh unto him because of the press. Several years ago, I was just a young preacher, very young preacher then. I don't know, I was probably 19, somewhere in that range. And there were some things going on in my life. And the Lord came to me one night in a service. I had girls on the brain. Does that make sense? Y'all get the picture? I had one in particular. And man, oh man, I'll never forget it. I knew she wasn't good for me. But she lived good. Don't get me wrong. She did. She lived real good. But she was so jealous that I couldn't shake hands with nobody in church. Period. I mean, I couldn't even sit down on the same pew anywhere near where my mother was at. I mean, it was horrible. And I'll never forget Brother Elmo Townsend. He's passed away and gone on to be with the Lord. I'll never forget, he come down, he jumped up off his pew one night, Holy Ghost fell on him. And he went dancing across the floor. He walked right where I was at, sitting on the front pew, laid his hand right on me, right in front of everybody. God and everybody was there. And he said, "There's a hindrance in your life." You know, I knew that. And God evidently knew that. Hallelujah. But his next words were, "Get rid of the hindrance to
tonight.
Well, sitting in that service was my little girlfriend. And you know what I did? You can figure this out if you want to. I broke up with her that night. It's kind of hard to tell somebody they're your hindrance, but I did. She figured it out too. And I really don't know why I'm telling you this, except to tell you, if something's standing in your way, if you can't move it in front of you, and that thing right there won't move, take another route and go the extra effort, because you need to get to the Lord. More than anything else in your life, you do not need to allow people to stand as a roadblock in front of you. Because if you always depend on the word of people, you'll never get anywhere.
That's right.
Come on. If you depend on what people have to say about things, you'll never get nothing out of life. You'll sit and you'll be talked into everything and never actually do anything on your own. But these men said, we came to see Jesus, not you. We came to see the Lord. Come on now. Hello, Joe. Good to see you. Can I come in? Can you move over a little? No. Well, then we'll just go around you then. Come on. And so the Bible said, when they could not come nigh unto Him because of the press, the Bible said, they uncovered the roof where He was. Come on now. I mean, there's a lot of details left out in there about who fetched the ladder and carrying the man up the ladder and all the details. But all I can tell you, I can skip some of those too. I ain't got time to fill them all in right here. But I can tell you, they said He's in here. And when they got there, notice what the Bible said. Brother Keith Willis, they said, they uncovered the roof where He was. You know what that tells us about these men? They'd been there before. They knew precisely where He was in the house. They did not uncover the congregation. They didn't uncover the pews. They didn't uncover the restrooms. They uncovered right where He was. They knew His position. In removing the tiling, they were very precise. And I want to tell you, some of you tonight, you've got the experience. You know where He's at. You know exactly where He's standing at. And it's doing no good to uncover everybody else and their problems. Come on now. What you need to do is uncover where He is. That's when it's going to do you some good. That's what's going to cause a breakthrough. And that is what's going to give us a revival. They were not content with being turned down and turned away. They found out there is a better effect for those that will give an extra effort.
The night I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was not in church. We went to church that night, but I didn't get it there. I don't think anybody got anything out of this service. It was dry, dry, dry. It was so dry, I don't think I've ever been in another service that was as dry as that dry service was. But before church that night, I told myself, self, I looked in the mirror. You have to do that every once in a while. I looked in the mirror and I looked at myself and I said, you are going to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. So I packed myself up, got myself dressed, and I went to church, and when I got there, they weren't nearly as fond of me getting the Holy Ghost as I was. And in fact, after sitting through 2 hours of that, I wasn't even really sure I was fond of it anymore. Come on now, I'm not trying to be comical and funny with this. I'm just trying to tell you something here. It's on my heart. I can't contain this. I'm going to tell you right here. But I got there. I was so disappointed. I just expected with a determined
expectation that when I got there, I mean, the altar's going to go through and the doors would be swung wide open. The Holy Ghost would descend just in a moment's notice, and we'd all be laid out flat on the floor within a 30 minutes time that service opened up, but it didn't happen. The singing was dry. The preaching was dry. And the altar I prayed at was dry. But I want to tell you, I did not allow that to turn me around. What I did do is on the way home, Mom said, she said, well, it's a little slow tonight. I said, and especially when I said I want the Holy Ghost tonight. And so we went home and I made up my mind, I may not get it in the church. I may not get it the conventional way, but I'm going to get it tonight. And long about 10:30, I got down on my knees right there in the corner of the living room, right there at Mom and Dad's house, and got to praying somewhere, some throw. I mean, I didn't much more get on my knees until I started feeling something. The tears started flowing. You know what I did? I tore the roof off where he was. And a few hours later, I saw a beam of light come at me, and it knocked me backward in the floor. And the next thing I know, I came to. Mama was on the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning telling folks to pray through to the Holy Ghost. They still wasn't near as excited as I was and as she was. But I want to tell you, we've got to make up our mind. How bad do you need it? How much do you want it? How much does it mean to you? To these men, this man getting healed, man, they're not going home until they get to Jesus. And you see, one of the greatest elements of this is, this house does not belong to them. They never went and searched for the proprietor and asked him, how can we, can we tear your roof off? No, they just went and did it. Come on now. I got to try to help you here. Brother Bailey, can I? Am I allowed to? If you want to take time to go and ask, you're probably going to get told no. But we'll break through and ask questions later. Huh? Come on now. In fact, I'm certain by the way what happened in this passage and this man getting healed that in the end, they were probably, the owners were so thrilled, this was probably Peter's house, if nobody else is satisfied with the idea. Man, if I'd have known we could have had a breakthrough like that. Come on, oh, I think we'd have went and tore this thing off a long time ago. We'd already broke it through. But it was left up to some men that decided they were not going to take no for an answer. They weren't going to be satisfied with another dead dry formal service. I'm dying. Come on, it really does not matter what anybody says. This man, he needs a healing. And see, then once they get to the uncovering of the roof, then there is something here that tells us a little bit of how they got it. The Bible said here that when they got there, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it, the first thing in uncovering the roof, there are some things that's got to be broken up. There are some things that's got to be changed. There are some things that cannot remain the way that they were. We've got to have a change. Help me here tonight. Come on, there are some things in our life that we need to get broken. There are some things and habits that need to change. Listen, there's only one way you get in the mode for prayer. You've got to get in the habit of doing it. When it's always drudgery and there's always something else to do, come on now, break the mode. Get down and get to praying. And the second thing that they did was they let down the bed. The next thing you got to do in the presence of the Lord, you've got to lower down. It's not how big you are, how tall you are, how strong you are, how talented you are. What's important is it's getting low in the presence of the Lord. But I don't. Some folks still won't come to the altar. Because they're afraid somebody will think they've committed a sin. They don't want anybody to think
that perhaps they've cooled off. Hear me now. They don't want to be let down. You see, when they tore the roof off, they didn't just tear a piece. They tore enough out to get this man in right. They tear a 2 foot by 2 foot square out. The only way they're getting him through that hole, they're going to have to dump him in. There's not a quick way around this. It may take a little bit more time. But when we get to him, it's going to be worth the effort. The extra effort. You realize in this passage how many times an extra effort is alluded to? It's pointed at? Come on now. Do you realize how many times in the Bible that it took an extra effort? We can go back, and I know I've talked about him in this revival. Bartimaeus, when he cried out the first time, nothing happens. Jesus doesn't stop. The crowd just keeps on moving by. There's some of those that's in the crowd saying, be quiet here. You don't need to make all that noise. Calm down just a little bit. There ain't no sense in that. But I like what Bartimaeus done. He realized, listen, I may have to do this again. And this time he turned up the volume just a little bit louder. Maybe that's what we need, is to turn up the volume. And whenever he screamed the second time, the Bible simply said that Jesus stood still. There's no longer the movement's not going on. Everything halts right at that place because of an extra effort. They went to all this. They uncovered the roof. That should have got his attention. But they didn't just uncover it. They broke it up. And they let down the bed. And when they just let him down at the bed, it means they lowered it all the way down and turned loose of the ropes that they were holding on to. They're not going to fetch him out. They took it to the feet of Jesus and laid it right there and let it go. You see, some of us have got to the place. We come and we pray and we break the roof. We lower them down, we hold on to our ropes, we carry our burdens to the altar. And then we carry them back to our seat. Then we carry them to the house. Carry them all day the next day. Add a few more to them. Bring them back again. Hardest thing for us is to loosen our grip on the ropes and just let it go. The Bible said to cast all your care upon the Lord. There's only one way you're going to get relieved of those things that are hampering you from getting in this revival. You're going to have to completely surrender it, let go of everything, and say, I am not carrying this back home with me. I came tonight with a heavy heart, and I am not, under any circumstances, going to hold a rope and carry it back. So I want to tell you right now, it's harder to pull him up than it was to let him down. And you're just working yourself nearly to death carrying your burdens around when what God wants you to do is to lower them down and leave them alone. Because if Jesus cannot take care of them, then they cannot be dealt with. And nothing is impossible to God. But what if God, come on now, what kind of statement is that? What if God can't? You're not talking to Junior Skaggs here. There's a lot of things I can't do. You could say that in reference to me. What if Brother Skaggs? Or what if Brother Bailey or Brother Smith or Brother Willis or any of these others? What if, come on, you can say that. What if, and when you're talking to humanity, but in the presence of the Lord, it's now what if he can't. You see, the what if is not on his shoulders. The what if is on yours because you won't let go. You just keep holding on. You just keep holding on because, come on now, I mean, I started to tell you a reason, but I'm not really sure of the reason. I don't know why. You just don't have faith to believe it's going to be done. I believe it's when they turn loose of the cord that Jesus said here in verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith.
faith. Come on now, is whenever he realized that they're not carrying this home, they're not pulling him up. Isn't it amazing that there was no room at the door? But suddenly when the roof's torn off, there was plenty of room between Jesus and the crowd. You see, the crowd only wants to get so close, and then they get under conviction. Come on now. But in this case, for the man that really wants to touch God, you can get close as you want to get. But when you get there, let it go. It's going to get late and I'm not going to be done preaching. And so when this man's lowered down that they brought to be healed of his palsy, Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Powerful. I mean, what a great message. This man didn't know he was coming for this either. The man with the palsy came for healing and got his sins forgiven. He got more than he bargained for, more than he expected, more than he ever thought could ever happen. I'm telling you, you put a lemon on it and say, "Well, this is all that's going to happen." You might be surprised before it's over with. Because with Jesus in the midst, you can get your healing and get your salvation all at the same time. I'm telling you, it's amazing what God can do when we surrender things to Him. But notice what happened. The Bible said there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Come on, help me here tonight. I almost wonder if that's not here. There are certain sitting and reasoning in their hearts. Who does he think he is? He don't have the right to say that. That's not God. God's not in. God can only forgive sins. God only has the right to say that. And God forbid that there be anybody here in this service tonight that would say that preacher's not anointed. God's not helping him. I don't believe God spoke to him nor dealt with him. I'm telling you, I'm going to preach to somebody right here. Come on, if I have to do it sitting down, because I feel like God has spoke to me about this. You think it's almost blasphemy, but I want to tell you, be careful what you say about those that are moved on by the Holy Ghost. You are on the verge of blasphemy yourself. You hear me now? When God says it, that's the way it's going to be. And if God said it, his sins are forgiven, that's not left for you to judge and determine if that was really the word of the Lord or not. Well, help me now. Some of these young folks done figured out when I take my glasses off. I just really don't want to see nobody. Well, how do I say this? Even during this revival, I've been second guessed. Been folks sitting on the pew. I don't believe that. I ain't going to accept that. God didn't say that. No. Lord didn't have anything to do with that. I'm not going to believe that. You sit and reason in your heart. You wouldn't speak it openly. The same way some folks wouldn't speak openly of John the Baptist. They'd get stoned if they did. People liked him. Huh? Come on now. I'm not into stump removal. And I don't want to do it. And I'm going to go on something else here real quick. But it ain't going to do you no good to try to reason this out. You may not believe everything I've said. And I know it. And sometimes I see it even when I got my glasses on. And I know you didn't believe it. But I'm telling you, there's some folks that's made up their mind, they're going to get a move of God. When the crowd spoke up and said, "You can't do that. That's not right." The man on the cot never changed his mind. I believe he sat there with a smile on his face and said, "Sins forgiven?
forgave me of my sins. But just so they would know that Jesus had power to forgive sins, He said to the man that was sick of the palsy, He said unto him, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house." And right there before their eyes, that old boy that had lived down the street for years and hadn't walked that everybody knew him. Come on now. He was that foul-mouthed man that hated God, hated everything. But this day he got his forgiveness. He stood up and started walking. Rolled up his bed and headed out the door. I'm trying to tell you something here tonight. You know what happened? Them folks up on the roof, I don't know if he did this, it seemed like he ought to have. He may have looked up and said, "I'll meet you at the back door." And they come down the ladder. And the same door that he couldn't get in to be carried in is the same door that he walked out. And they were amazed at it. How'd he do that? How'd he get up there? Where'd he come from? I told him no, he couldn't get in. Well, the good news is for you is that you don't control who comes and goes. It's all left up to the Lord. I got to try to tell you something tonight. I'm trying to hurry. But if we're going to get anything else out of this revival, it's going to have to be an extra effort. It's going to determine how much do you want it. Well, preacher, I just can't get in. We're going to have to change evangelists. We may have to change pastors. But I want to tell you, there was nothing changed about this except for four men that refused to go home with the same burden that they came with. And I wonder about you. Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to get up? Are you going to talk yourself out of it? Well, I may as well go home. There's nothing moving tonight. Oh, come on, now I'm telling you, we could come in here tomorrow night and have a Holy Ghost explosion. If somebody is willing to make an extra effort. It was almost unbelievable that Joshua told the men, "We're going to march around Jericho one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, we're going to give an extra effort. We're going to walk more times than we walked all the other days combined." Come on. I'm not used to this. I'm not used to that. I'm not sure that they were either. But they gave those seven laps around that place on their last day. And it wasn't until that seventh lap was completed that the walls came down. Oh, I tell you, you stop short of Naaman if he doesn't dip seven times. It's not enough to go to any other river. You can't go to the Tigris or the Euphrates or any of the other clean rivers. You've got to go down to Jordan and dip seven times. And I feel like telling somebody here tonight, you know how much you've been carrying a burden. Get up and give that extra effort. Don't be satisfied with just sitting there and dismissing it before everybody else gets done. Well, come on. I need a piano player. Brother Keith, somebody, whoever, it don't matter. I can't call on my wife tonight. I hope you don't think I'm being mean. I'm only preaching what God's laid on my heart. These brothers up here have had the opportunity to gaze at my Bible nearly every night. And the amount of notes that I've had written down there has been few and far in between. Very little. But tonight, He's here. He's here. First thing. You're here. Second thing. You're delivered. Third thing. Simplified. He's here and you're here. Sounds like a combination that presents liberty and freedom.
freedom and liberty. I heard a little clip today. Somebody was playing George W. Bush and his inaugural address. And I was trying to count them, and I lost count. How many times he said, liberty and freedom. Liberty and... I didn't notice it when I was hearing the whole speech. How many? 27 times. You think that was intentional? An extra effort was given to put in freedom. And some of you are still just looking at me. Like, sir, it's 9:15. Yes, and you're still holding your burden. You've tied the ropes around your hand and you've got knots in them. I just can't. I told his wife we'd bring him home. Let it go. But we just can't just leave him lying on a cot. Let it go. You carried it too long. Brother, sister, you've had to deal with this way too long. And I feel like for the last 2 nights, God has dealt with me about something that I never imagined that this revival would turn into. I've preached on everything that you could probably just about... You'd never thought you'd hear this kind of preaching during a revival. But now I'm trying to dig around somebody's heart where there's something that's being carried there. Something that needs to be gotten rid of. And I want to tell you, the only solution is right here in this service tonight. Because He is in the house. Go up and down the street here. They know we're in revival. They know something's going on here. You don't come to church every night. Come on for 3-4 weeks. Come on now for nothing. There must be something going on up there. I'll tell you what it is. The Lord has come in here. He didn't just move in, move out, and move on. He has already just moved in and that's it. He has settled right here. And now He's saying, bring your burdens. Come unto me. Oh, ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. We need a break from the burdens. We need a reprieve from that we've been carrying. Come tonight and give it to Jesus. As she plays and you stand and I close, God knows my heart. I don't have no idea why I'm preaching, what I'm preaching and everything else. But I'm telling you tonight, let go of your rope. It's binding you down. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you don't let go of the rope, the very thing that you thought you was letting down is going to pull you down. It's going to pull you right out because you will not surrender to God's will. He is here, friend. I'm telling you He's here. I feel the Holy Ghost settling right down on me right now. And I feel like telling somebody right here in this building tonight, you have held on to this way too long. It's time you let go of it. It's going to get to the place, it's going to pull you out, and you're going to go to hell because you will not let go of it. I've had 2 days of bitter pills. There's bitterness right here. I feel it just as sure as I felt anything else in this revival. And I don't know why I'm feeling it. But there are some things that needs to be taken care of. That God, you want to know why the sinners ain't coming out right now? I'll tell you exactly why. God is stopping right here. They may come back in here in a day or two. But right here, God's taking care of some heart issues. Some things that's got to be dealt with. We've tried to pass over them. You've even tried to shout over them. But the same old thing keeps recurring over and over and over and over and over again. Until you find yourself, until even right now tonight, you still don't believe God gave this to me. You still can't believe that I've got a hold of this and preaching this. But I have. I'm telling you, and I feel it with everything in me. That you're tied down
might and holding on to you've drug it until you're absolutely worn out. You know what happens when you get so worn out carrying something? You collapse. And you may not get back up. I'm asking you tonight, come to this altar. The altar's open. Let's come and pray.